Freedom Guns is your local gun store for the Rockledge Cocoa area in Brevard County, Florida. Stop in and meet Mike and the gang and see the great deals they have on long guns, handguns, accessories, ammunition, AR build kits, and Liberty safes that come with free delivery and installation. They're located at 1255 Florida Avenue, just north of Rockledge High School. For more information, check them out at freedom-guns.com. Tell them you heard about them on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast.
The Shooting Straight Radio podcast is proudly sponsored in part by The Gun Sight in Merritt Island, with a 9-lane, 25-yard indoor shooting range, handgun and machine gun rentals, a fully stocked gun store with plenty of long guns, handguns, ammunition, and accessories to choose from. They're your one-stop shop in Merritt Island for all things necessary to responsibly exercise your Second Amendment right. Check them out at gunsightrange.com or stop by in person at 125 South Banana River Drive. And make sure you tell them that you heard about The Gun Sight on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast.
Yes, we are locked and loaded on the Shooting Straight Radio podcast. This is the program all about firearms, the Second Amendment, and all things pertaining thereto. I am Royce, your host and professor emeritus of Second Amendment studies and a veritable super spreader of constitutional propriety. We have much to speak of today, I guarantee you that. In the next episode, just to give you a heads up, I'm going to be addressing the most recent assault against the Constitution by Mr. Angus King, a senator from Maine, who claims to have crafted a law that addresses the gun violence epidemic while also protecting the Second Amendment. I call bull fertilizer on that because gun control is in no way, shape, or form compatible with the Second Amendment. And people like Mr. King who claim otherwise are miserably ignorant of said amendment, not to mention the founders who penned it and their intentions for said amendment and for the people to keep and bear arms. He knows nothing about it. I'm telling you, if people were in this country were as constitutionally savvy as we should be, this kind of crap would never come through. It would never be voted for. It would never be proposed, because the guys like King who propose these sort of laws are banking on the ignorance of the American public, or at least their followers there, the little Democrat communist mugwumps. If they were actually schooled in the Second Amendment, none of this stuff would ever have passed. All the way back to 1934, it never would have passed. So we'll be talking about that in the next episode. I still want to do a little more research before I try to bring it out. I want to cover all the points that I can. There's already some things that I'm finding in it that are not being said in the news, And it's pretty insidious, people. It's very insidious, actually. It's the government overreaching if this does pass, and basically taking unto themselves power that they were never granted in the Constitution. But, gee, why would that be any different than it is now, right? Anyway, or different from what they've been doing, right? Now, remember in the last episode where I referenced New York's new law, where a judge recently upheld it and gave the state of New York the power to remove people from their homes and families indefinitely if the state feels that they're contagious. And the state will not have to prove anything to do such a thing. They won't have to prove that the person is contagious. They won't have to prove anything at all. They will just come and show up and say, well, we believe that you're contagious. We believe that you're afflicted with some sort of deadly malady. And for your safety and the safety of your family and the safety of your neighbors, we're going to remove you and take you to a nice little camp somewhere. Well, we already discussed how insidious that is, but something kept pinging me about this, and I went back and did some more research on it, did some cross-referencing, and because I know how these communists operate, and I know that every law they propose and or pass grants more power to the state and infringes the rights of the people, and a lot of times lays the foundation for the next unconstitutional law that they're going to propose, I had a feeling something a little more sinister was afoot. And I think I found out what that is. Here's an article by Larry Keene. He is the head of United Shooting Sports Foundation. I'm sorry, the USSF. And the title of the article by Mr. Keene is "Anti-Gun Senators Ignore Crime and Push the Quote Gun Violence is a Public Health Problem" end quote narrative. That's very telling. I want you to listen to some of the things being said in this. And then couple that with this law in New York that grants the state this power to, without warrant and without due cause or probable cause, remove people indefinitely. By the way, we all know that's unconstitutional. But if you think for a second that New York is going to be the only state dealing with such a law, I've told you before, these people, it's commie see, commie do. California will soon do the same. Mark my words. Chicago will do the same. New Orleans, all the liberal cities throughout America and the liberal states throughout America, Oregon, Washington State, they will follow suit. Bank on it. Now, couple that with what you're about to hear in this article by Mr. Keene, and you're going to be thinking, my goodness, would they be so audacious? Yes, they would. These communists are very audacious. They throw stuff against the wall and hope something sticks. They don't care if it's flagrantly unconstitutional. If they can go judge shopping and find a judge to say, nope, it's constitutional, you can do it, they'll do it. And they've been doing it. That's why we've got 20,000 plus gun laws on the books on the federal, state, and local level throughout the nation right now. Here's the article. U.S. senators bent on more gun control used a hearing at the Senate Judiciary Committee to attempt to yet again diagnose violent crime in America as a public health disease. Okay, stay with me. Their only proposed cure, of course, is more gun control. In the eyes of one witness, it was another instance of gun control efforts putting their playlist on repeat, hoping that each time they play the same soundtrack, they will somehow convince America that the only prescription to solving the revolving door of crime is to abandon constitutionally protected rights. The problem is crime is a behavior and not a disease. It's best addressed by strict enforcement of existing laws. Now, when I started reading this, I thought, you know, this makes perfect sense in conjunction with that law in New York. And I kept wondering, you know, why do they keep calling this an epidemic and they treat it like it's some sort of a disease? Well, because if they could put it under the banner of a health issue, that gives them a lot more power and leeway to basically do whatever they want to do without that pesky Constitution getting in the way, or so they think. Now, something else these communists love to do is speak a lie as if it's a foregone conclusion of fact. They do this oftentimes. And here's more proof. Well, from Senator Dick Durbin, a flaming Bolshevik out of, Illinois. It said the hearing started with a video montage played by Judiciary Chairman Dick Durbin, highlighting many of the grotesquely exploited images of mass murder incidents that were previously published by the Washington Post and earned media scorn. Senator Durbin said in his opening statement, here it is, listen, "Across the country, gun violence is a public health epidemic, plain and simple." You hear that? He's speaking that as if it's a foregone conclusion. Anybody that knows anything about gun violence knows that this is a health problem and not a heart problem. Yeah, not a crime problem. This is a health issue. Larry King continues, note the carefully chosen phrase. Senator Durbin didn't refer to criminal misuse of firearms or repeat violent offenders who prey on innocent lives. In his estimation, guns are a pathogen. Eradicating them, even for lawful gun owners, is the only way forward. Did you catch that phrase Mr. King just used? He said, in Mr. Durbin's estimation, and not just Durbin's, but all the other commies too, guns are a pathogen. Now, this made me think back. You know, I've been saying for years on this program that they treat guns as if it's a disease. A gun is a disease and somehow can go viral and somehow can overcome the person holding it and make them do things they normally wouldn't do, you know, like a virus can. Yeah. Well, now it all makes sense. It makes perfect sense. And these two are going to be used in conjunction with each other. The article continues, the carefully edited video was capped by a CBS News interview with Dr. Celine Grauner, epidemiologist at New York State University and Bellevue Hospital, to underscore Senator Durbin's attempt to reframe crime. Grauner said this, listen, I think reframing this as a public health crisis, you know, I'm an infectious disease specialist. Many of the people in my field have actually turned to gun violence, recognizing that gun violence behaves like an infectious disease. Gee, what could possibly go wrong, especially when viewing New York's law? That they can come and take people at will without warrant, without probable cause, simply on the suspicion that they have some sort of communicable disease. You know, an infectious disease, you know, like guns in your house. Wow. Grauner continued, it is contagious. What's contagious? Gun violence. It's contagious. Violence is passed on from person to person. In other words, they're attempting to frame so-called gun violence as a contagious disease. Well, it is not contagious. I will say this much, though. If you try to invest violence in me or any of my fellow keepers and bearers, we will give you a compounded return on your investment. You better believe it. Compounded interest, baby, because that's just the way we train. But it's not because we're infected by some deadly gun violence disease. It's because we know the only thing stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. Yeah, not someone at your door taking you off to an internment camp. So what do you think could happen here? Especially considering how audacious these people actually are. What could possibly go wrong? I mean, you go ahead and play out the scenarios in your own mind. You got one law in New York State that says they can show up at your door and take you away. And now this thing that has been parroted for years now in the media, they're really giving it a whole lot more attention now. Why? Well, because of that law in New York. You understand a lot of the politics from New York bleeds out into other areas of the nation, right? I've already said commie see, commie do. Yeah, the real communicable disease here is the lie of socialism and communism and everything else. That's the real disease. That's the one that's been destroying this country and the minds of many of our young people today. They worship Mao Zedong. They worship murderous dictators, and they look at us like we're the problem. Yeah, they're morally dyslexic, and that does seem to be contagious for sure. Now let's shift gears here for just a second. There's this defiance that has been brewing in states like New York and also in Illinois and in Massachusetts and Delaware and other states. And it's a defiance that seems to be contagious. Yeah. And it's all leveled against the Bruin decision. Now, you heard me on this program dissect the decision of that federal court that upheld Illinois' assault weapons ban. And we'll be addressing that here in a little bit, too, because that's going to be heading to the Supreme Court soon. I'll tell you how and why. But there is a flurry of gun control laws now being proposed in all of these communist-held states, especially in Massachusetts recently. And there are 50, more than 50 laws, gun control laws, that were proposed in the Massachusetts state legislature this session. 50 gun control laws, and they're all singing the same tune they've always sung. They're being passed, proposed, when they're passed, in direct defiance of the Second Amendment, direct defiance of the Constitution, direct defiance of the Bruin decision that set the correct principle for judging all gun control laws. They hate Bruin. They are gnashing their teeth at that decision. They are excoriating and, you know, verbally crucifying Clarence Thomas, calling him all sorts of things and denigrating terms like Uncle Tom and other such things, because he had the audacity to uphold and defend the Constitution in the Bruin decision. So in Maryland, a federal court recently struck down Maryland's handgun law as unconstitutional, told him flat out, what you're doing is wrong, and you may not continue enforcing this law. Now, of course, they're going to appeal, but let's just look at a couple of things about that real quick. If you haven't heard about it yet, a federal court recently was explicitly clear when they made the decision that Maryland's handgun qualification law is a constitutional abomination. It violates the Constitution, and it's a violation of the Second Amendment, but guess what's still happening? The state police are still enforcing it. Well, come on, Royce, you know, they have right to appeal, and they're going to enforce it until it's appealed. I understand all that. I got news for you. I can't prove this yet, but I think soon some of these states that are smacked down by the Bruin principle are going to simply continue to enforce these laws no matter what. I believe that's going to start happening. Remember, these people are very audacious. Later in November, it was the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. They struck down the law, and their reasoning was that it failed the test imposed by the Supreme Court in its 2022 decision in the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin, according to the publication in Maryland Matters. Mark Pinnock, who is the president of Maryland Shall Issue, it's a pro-Second Amendment group there in Maryland, he made this comment. He said, Maryland's handgun qualification law is the most severe of anywhere in the country by far. It is the most burdensome of any law enacted anywhere. You know, this law requires anybody who wants to buy a handgun, first you have to submit a set of fingerprints, then you got to go through a background check, then you have to undergo a four-hour course that includes a live fire exercise, then they have to wait 30 days, 30, 30 days, a full month, for the government's oh-so-vaunted and gracious permission to buy a handgun. Yeah, and then there's another application and at least a 7-day waiting period before you can buy the gun. All right, what if it's someone like a wife with an estranged husband that she has a restraining order on? Mm-hmm. And she is literally under fear of her life. Why does she have to go through at least a 37-day wait in order to defend herself? Hmm? So the justices in this decision, they said the same thing. They said it's burdensome and it violates the Second Amendment. Maryland Governor Wes Moore, now he said he's going to continue to fight for this law. Why? Well, I'll tell you why. Because it robbed him of power that he was never intended to have by the Constitution. And the Attorney General there, Anthony Brown, said that they're weighing their options for their next steps. Well, I'm sure there's going to be an appeal. Even Maryland Republican Party Chairwoman Nicole Harris, she says she expects them, the state, to appeal also. And you figure out, why would they do that? Why don't they just leave it alone and, you know, not go back and try to appeal it? Well, because they don't like losing power. Yes, gun control laws empower the state. You understand that? Yes, it gives the state power over the free exercise of your rights. So, yeah, I think they're going to definitely appeal too, because, like I said, they don't like giving up power that they stole from the people. They love controlling the free exercise of the rights. Those tawdry peons over whom they presume to rule should not have the right unless they say so. Uh-huh. Well, Ms. Nicole Harris also says, she said, their decision to push this radical left anti-gun agenda is political grandstanding, which does not save lives in Maryland, while they continue to ignore tough-on-crime measures that would help our citizens. And that statement right there wraps up in a nutshell what you're seeing in all of these communist-occupied states, communist-ruled states, that have burgeoning and blossoming crime problems, violent crime problems. My goodness, there's I think there was like 40 carjackings in one day, and I think it was Chicago. Yeah, I need to go back and look that up, but it's an immense number, 40 carjackings. Why are they doing it? Because they know they're not going to serve any prison time. Like I referenced in the last episode, there were several thugs that recently beat up two NYPD cops, and they were let go by the judge and by the district attorney without having to pay any bail, released on their own recognizance. Do you not think that's upside down? No, of course it is. Well, they want to be able to point to a crime problem and say, look, we have to do something about this. Well, what they should do about it is simply take their hands off the free exercise of the right of the people to keep and bear arms, and that problem would probably dissipate pretty quickly. Yeah. So the ruling, I'm reading some of the things from the ruling, where they said, if you live in Maryland and you want a handgun, you must follow a long and winding path to get one. The challenged law restricts the ability of law-abiding adults, citizens, to possess handguns, and the state has not presented a historical analog that justifies its restriction. You see what they're using here, right? Yes, the Bruin principle. Text and history. Indeed, it has seemingly admitted that it couldn't find one. Under the Supreme Court's new burden-shifting test for these claims, Maryland's law thus fails, and we must enjoin its enforcement. Bravo, beautiful, absolutely. And this is why they hate Bruin. This is why they hate the text and history principle laid forth by Justice Clarence Thomas in that infamous, to them, ruling. The ruling also stated, in Maryland, if you are a law-abiding person who wants a handgun, you must wait up to 30 days for the state to give you its blessing. Until then, there is nothing you can do. The issue is out of your control. There it is. what did I just say a few minutes ago? The state wants to control the free exercise of not just the Second Amendment, but all your rights. The Second Amendment in particular, because that's the one they fear. They don't like people being armed to be able to fight back against their despotism. No, they can't have that. That's a very astute ruling there. There's nothing you can do. Nothing. The state has said, no, you're not exercising this right until we say you can, and you got to go through at least 37 days worth of scrutiny before you can do that. Well, think about it. If you're not in control of the free exercise of your own rights, somebody else is. And that someone is the state. And they were never granted such control. Matter of fact, there's a direct prohibition in the Second and 14th Amendments that says no state may do that. The federal government may not infringe on your right, and neither may the state that you live in. The decision also made this comment that said, Maryland has not shown that this regime is consistent with our nation's historical tradition of firearm regulation. There might well be a tradition of prohibiting dangerous people from owning firearms, but under the Second Amendment, mechanisms matter, and Maryland has not pointed to any historical laws that operated by preemptively depriving all citizens of firearms to keep them out of dangerous hands. And that's essentially what they're doing. This is a great decision here. This is the state of Maryland saying, in order to keep guns out of bad people's hands, you must go through an onerous, burdensome process before you can freely exercise your right, and you have to prove to us that you are actually fit to exercise this right. You have to prove that you are innocent. That's essentially what this is. You must prove to us you're innocent, that you have no ill intentions before you exercise your right. And in spite of that ruling, here we have the Maryland State Police have said flat out, matter of fact, they posted it on Twitter. There was a tweet about it. That, you know, we're going to enforce it anyway. We're going to keep enforcing this. So Marylanders, I have something that I want to ask you right here, right now. What are you going to do to force the state into compliance if they continue to enforce the law in direct defiance even after their appeal fails, if they file for an appeal? What are you going to do? Well, Royce, you really think they're going to do that? They're already in direct defiance of the Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land. They're already directly defying that. They're in direct defiance of the Bruin decision. Why do you think they would think twice about violating this law, this decision right here? This where essentially the Supreme Court says you may not enforce this anymore, and yet, well, we're going to anyway until the appeal anyway. Well, what makes you think they wouldn't continue to after? Well, come on, you're really, you know, straining at knots here, Royce. No, I want you to think about this because it's something that could happen. It's going to happen soon. I believe that these people are so, again, the word audacious, they're so arrogant, they think they're above the law. I think we're going to start seeing things like that very soon. Because what if the state says, we don't care what the court says, we're going to keep doing it. So, Marylanders, what are you going to do to force the state into compliance if they continue to enforce the law in direct defiance of this decision and any decision during a potential appeal? Do you think they might not do that? Well, I got news for you. They could very easily. All right, we're going to take a brief commercial break. Be right back. Don't go anywhere. The listener retention squads are on standby to enforce listenership of this program.
The Police Hall of Fame and the United States Law Enforcement Foundation, where bold vision and hope align to create a better tomorrow for all law enforcement and the communities they serve by strong advocacy, hard and soft skills training and education, and their many programs of compassion. To learn more, please go to uslef.org or aphf.org.
Sicario's Gun Shop. Buy, sell, or trade firearms. Purchase Class 3 NFA items, custom builds, gunsmithing, and cleaning. Liberty Gun Safes. Sicario's Gun Shop fully supports our military and law enforcement. Visit online at sicariosgunshop.com or in person at 5325 North Wickham Road, Suite 105 in Melbourne, Florida.
Sicario's, where you come first for your second.
Welcome back. Hey, we're still locked and loaded. Here we go. Before the break, we were talking about what's going on in Maryland, where a Supreme Court shot down their onerous, their burdensome handgun law. And I put forth a challenge to the people of Maryland, and I know I have quite a few listeners up there. I checked the stats, and I asked them a very, you know, direct question. What are you going to do to force the state into compliance, even if after an appeal, they continue to enforce the law? Well, I'm happy to report that there is some defiance going on in Illinois. And it's delicious to see. There's already been like, right around 3,000 people that have registered their assault weapons, but that's a tiny fraction. That's less than 1% of all the people there that own these evil black rifles, the ones that infect you with a virus, a communicable disease known as gun violence epidemic. And, we talked about that in the first segment too, going on in New York, but yes, major defiance. The Illinoisans are in full defiance mode against the so-called assault weapons ban that Governor Prickster signed into law earlier this year, or as I like to call him, Jabba the Bolshevik. And old Jabba and all of his ilk in Illinois are about to have their little commie dreams shattered because one particular Supreme Court justice is making signs and noises that she's willing to look at the case being brought against this law to repeal it, to nullify their assault weapons ban. And here's an article, a story by Andrew Sanders. And the title of it is Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett is considering the case to throw out Illinois' gun ban. Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett is considering granting an emergency injunction to stop the implementation of a prohibition on AR-15s and standard capacity magazines following a ruling by the Seventh Circuit panel that AR-15s are not protected by the Second Amendment. Now, I know you've heard me bloviate about this before. All arms for war are protected by the Second Amendment. And if you call an AR-15 a weapon of war, well, yes, it could very well be used as a weapon of war. Bolt-action rifles were once weapons of war. And yes, we may have to use our AR-15s to defend ourselves against foreign invaders that are already here, being spurred on by our own government. Or even our own government themselves. So again, I say, it's funny to hear them say, these are weapons of war. What do you need them for? Well, maybe to defend ourselves against our rogue government. Oh, you really think that thing can be, used to defend against the government? Well, I thought you said they were weapons of war. Oops. The article continues, the National Association for Gun Rights, joined them, by the way, I did, has filed the injunction referencing the 2022 Bruin decision and expressing confidence in Justice Barrett's stance on the issue. The organization emphasizes the importance of fighting for gun rights across various arenas. Hannah Hill, the executive director of the National Foundation for Gun Rights, made this statement. Actually, she wrote this in a comment. She said, the Seventh Circuit just said that ARs are not guns entitled to Second Amendment protection. It doesn't get much more outrageous than that, and Justice Amy Coney Barrett appears to agree. She just sent a huge signal that lower court defiance of Bruin and Heller will not be tolerated. Dudley Brown, who is he's the president of National Association for Gun Rights. He said Justice Barrett has been watching this case closely, and last time we asked her for an emergency appeal, the Seventh Circuit only dodged a SCOTUS smackdown by expediting the case. Well, the Seventh Circuit has ruled now, and they got it wrong, big time. He said, we look forward to reading Illinois' attempt to explain why gun bans are consistent with the Second Amendment, and we are confident that this unconstitutional law won't fly with Justice Barrett. Well, I think so too. But again, I want to pose a what if, the same what if that I proposed to you about Maryland. What are you going to do when the Supreme Court says, y'all can go pound sand? This ain't constitutional. Well, let me ask you this. What happened in New York when the ruling went against them in the Bruin decision? What did they do? They turned around and began to pass a flurry of anti-Bruin laws, laws that defied the Bruin principle, laws that obviously defied the Second Amendment and the Constitution in general, but this was their response to it. Do you think that Jabba the Bolshevik is going to do anything different? You really think that? You think for a second he's really going to let it go? Oh, well, the Supreme Court said we can't do it. No, 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 no. You don't know these Bolsheviks very well if that's what you think. If you think this is going to be the end of the fight, no, no, no. This is just one of the battles. The battle for our rights has been going on in this country since its inception. Do you realize that? Mm-hmm. It has. The Civil War. What was the Civil War? That was this country erupting into warfare against itself to enforce the Constitution. That's what happened. Yes, all men are born with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, but according to some of the Democrat-led states, no, that's not true. Nuh-uh. No, we're not letting our slaves go. Mm-hmm. Democrat Party is still the party of slavery, by the way. So what are you prepared to do? To what extent are you prepared to, what extent are you prepared to go to? Hmm? Y'all in Maryland, what are you prepared to go to? All of you in Illinois, what are you prepared to do? What happens when the courts are no longer heeded and the court decisions are no longer heeded? In other words, the court decisions they don't like. What are you going to do when they say, well, heck with this, we're going to pass different laws in and we'll end run that and we'll circumvent it and it's going to just keep the battle going? What are you prepared to do? Well, Royce, are you intimating violence? No. I don't believe in aggressive violence. I believe in defensive violence. And if you bring violence to me, yes, you will meet my aggression. Yeah, because the best defense is a good offense. You better believe it. But for me to go and poke the bear and try to start the fight, no, I don't do that. And nor should you. You should be prepared to defend yourself at any time and at all times, yes. But I don't go looking for criminals to shoot. Okay, so there's the principle. But what are you prepared to do? Are you prepared to openly defy them? Hmm? And what are you going to do when they start arresting you? People, we're getting to this point in this entire country where we're going to be pushed to the place where we finally go, okay, what's it going to take to get you guys to see that you're not going to take our arms from us? Hmm? The governments of the states and the federal government are constantly flexing their muscle against the people and their rights. When are you going to do what you need to do? Well, what do we need to do, Royce? Well, number one, first be involved with groups like National Association for Gun Rights. Yes, be involved there. Be involved politically. Don't think everybody else is going to do it and you can just sit back on your butt and do nothing. But also be prepared to show force if necessary, just like they did in Virginia a couple of years back when Governor Northam decided he was going to just wave his middle finger at the Constitution. And by the way, Virginia's heating up again. We'll be talking about that soon. Are you prepared to do that? Are you prepared to literally march under arms and show the legislature, look, you ain't doing this. You're not taking anything. It's not going to happen. Well, that's something you definitely need to think about because That is fast upon us, people. It's going to be here soon. Think about where your resolve is, especially you guys and gals in Illinois and in Maryland and in Massachusetts and all the other, you know, communist-occupied territories. Yes, again, I want to remind you, like I said at the beginning of the program, you people in Massachusetts, 50-plus laws, gun control laws, were being proposed in your state legislature. What are you prepared to do? I'm going to tell you something that I think really needs to happen soon. States need to pass laws, especially conservative states, that actually put teeth in the law against these elected officials who think they have the divine right somehow to pass whatever law they want for your own personal safety, of course. There needs to be laws put in place in every state and on the federal level that basically assesses prison time at a minimum for people that propose laws that they know flagrantly violate the Constitution. That's what really needs to happen. That's where I'm at, literally. That's when they start getting marched out of their offices in handcuffs, slammed over the hood of a waiting patrol car, given a comically brutal cavity search, and then thrown into jail to await trial without bail. And then some of them start going to prison for 10 years at hard labor. I bet you this crap would evaporate overnight. I really do. And along that line, I'm actually in the process of writing a bill that anybody can go in. Matter of fact, you ask for it and I'll send it to you. You can send to your pro-constitutional legislators and tell them, we want this law. We want a law that assesses prison time, that sentences elected officials to prison when they deliberately assault the supreme law. Because what do you call people that break the law? Criminals. Okay, how come there's no punishment for these people when they willfully and flagrantly violate the supreme law of the land known as the Constitution? Because until there's punishment meted out to these people, they're going to keep doing it. They're just like the street-level thugs in Chicago and New York City who get their little hands spanked and told, you're not allowed to do that. Don't you do that anymore. You go away and you be a good little boy and girl. Yeah, that's they're just like them. They've been getting away with breaking the supreme law, and they're going to keep doing it until we start putting some teeth in it. That's the only fault I find with the Constitution as a document, as our founding document, and that is there was no punishment prescribed for the violation of these laws. That's what needs to happen. That's where I'm at. As soon as I have that bill written out and ready, if you like a copy of it, I'll send it to you. In the meantime, I think all 50 states need to draft resolutions of noncompliance against any and all gun control laws and let the people in the upper echelons up there, the state legislature, lators, and the governors, and yes, even on the Washington, D.C. level, let them know you guys are really starting to kick this bear and we're starting to get ticked off with you. That's where we're at. All right, I'll catch you on the next episode. In the meantime, keep your powder dry. Keep in touch with your representatives. Make a recurring donation to all of these good people out there in GOA, Gun Owners of America, National Association for Gun Rights, Second Amendment Coalition, and all the other ones out there that are actually out there working and doing the work in Washington and in the state capitals. They are in the fight for real. They're not compromising your rights away like some other prominent so-called Second Amendment organizations. They're fighting for you for real. Join them and make a recurring $5 a month donation to each one of them. Put your money where your mouth is if you really think you're going to be in this fight. Because if you can't put forth $5 a month to these organizations to help them with the legal fees that they're stacking up, fighting for your rights, I'm going to have doubts about you ever picking up your weapons and fighting against a marauding government. Ever forget, incoming rounds always have the right of way. Royce out.
Second Amendment University, class dismissed.